16, so it's time for class to start. I just want to introduce myself and just kind of set the stage. My name is Greg Calhoun. I'm be teaching this class on the spirit of honor. And I just want to let each and every person know, those who are on the internet and those who are sitting here in class, you're in for one of the most exciting times of your life. What God is doing through the apostle, through the apostolic anointing that God has placed upon this church and this mantle and all those who are connected with the apostle is mind-boggling. You know, so it's humbling, and it's an honor to serve under such an anointed apostolic man of God. I stand before you in fear and trembling because I mean, the Bible says the prophets of old long to see the days that we're seeing right now. So you're in historical making time right now. What we're seeing and what's being demonstrated and what's being manifested is history making. You know, like he said, he's been searching for what we've been experiencing all of his life. As an instructor, it's our responsibility to help each and every one of you to be able to more fully receive what the apostle is coming forth by undergirding what he's teaching and giving each and every student good, strong biblical concepts, foundations in the Word of God, so that you can, when you take his class, he'll probably teach tomorrow night, you'll be ready and full of you know, just having a heart of expectation. Have you guys received your books yet? Okay, what we're going to do, I'm going to introduce some concepts in the class. The class, as I stated, is the culture of honor. And we're going to be looking at different aspects of what honor is, the blessings of sowing seeds of honor, and also, too, the consequences of being dishonorable. And that's so very important. You need to know and understand the importance of honoring your man or your woman of God. If you're a part of this ministry or hooked up to this ministry, your man of God needs to be the apostle. And you need to know how to properly honor. There's what is known as sowing seeds of honor. And we're going to get into a lot of different aspects of sowing seeds of honor. Sowing a seed of honor is not just sowing money into the apostle, but you can sow a seed of honor by taking the principles and the concepts that are being put forth from the apostle's mouth and applying them in your life and getting results. One of the greatest rewards of honor is to see what's being taught from the pulpit manifest in the pew, because people are receiving. But at the same time, I don't want to underemphasize sowing a seed of honor. What we're going to be talking about is giving you today or tonight a brief overview of some of the things we're going to be talking about. And I just want to start off by giving you a good solid foundation of what seed sowing is all about. Okay, as I stated, I just wanted to while I'm thinking about it, I know the internet classes watch over the internet. But the online students, I want to encourage you to go back. You can go back and you can look at the classes on your computer. If you don't have a Roku device, how many of you in here have a Roku device? Okay, we have two people. I would strongly encourage you to look into it, because you're able to go back and archive and watch all the classes and even the services, you know, right in your living room, in your bedroom, on your 40-inch or on your 60-inch TV with the push of a remote hooked up to wireless internet. It's an awesome tool to go back and to study. You can pause it. You can rewind it. You can go back and refresh your notes. You're not looking at a little 18-inch monitor screen, but you're looking, you know, on your. I just wanted to let you know how awesome a tool it is. But anyway, we're going to start off with one of the things Reverend Leroy Jr. stated, and he may have stated it during the orientation. He says, information plus revelation equals impartation. Our job as instructors here is to make sure that you get information so that you can receive revelation, and so that that information plus the revelation is going to equal an impartation in your life, an apostolic impartation from the apostle. And that's sort of important. You know, my job as an instructor is to provide you an accurate biblical information concerning the spirit of honor that will facilitate you in receiving impartation from the apostles class. You know, I'm here to just, like I said, being a facilitator to help get a strong, solid foundation so that you know how to, because the greatest seed that you can sow is a seed of honor. That's the greatest seed that you can sow is a seed of honor. That seed of honor will bring forth blessings that are not just immediate, but also generational from to your children and to your children's children. So it's very important that you understand how important it is to know how to sow seeds of honor. Also, I want you to examine your hearts as we embark on this investigative study of the spirit of honor. Search your hearts to see where you might have areas in your life where you have sowed seeds of dishonor so that you can learn how to reverse that and begin to sow seeds of honor. The Bible says that the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, there's always a reason for the curse or misfortune that happens in a person's life. A lot of times it has to do with that individual sowing seeds of dishonor. And when you sow a seed of dishonor, you're going to reap consequences of that dishonor that you sowed. But when you sow seeds of honor, of respect, loyalty, you know, respect to the man or the woman of God that God has placed you under, it's a reciprocation of God's blessing coming back upon your life. Amen? All right, and just to give you a scripture that I stated earlier, Proverbs 26:2. It says, as the bird by wandering and as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. There's always a reason when the curse comes upon a person's life. We want to sow seeds of honor that will allow the blessings of God to come on our lives. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, and I might not read all of it, it states, let him that is taught in the word communicate or reciprocate unto them that teach it in all good things. This is sowing honor. Then in verse 7 it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So when you sow dishonor, you're going to reap dishonor. You're going to reap the consequences of the seeds that you sow. But when you sow seeds of honor, you can't help but reap the blessings of God. Amen. And that's what we want. When, you know, one of the things I have in my notes, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, and you're second year students. So I know you understand the principle because you've been in the school for a whole solid year. You know, you should never go before a man of God empty-handed. When you're before your apostolic source, and I'm going to talk a little bit about apostolic source maybe tonight or in other classes, or when you're in front of your man or woman or guy, the person that God has put you under to be mentored, to be trained, to be fathered. And that's so very important. You know, we all, each and every one of us need a spiritual father. You know, if you're not submitted to any man or woman of God that's anointed and called of God, well, then you actually are operating, and I'm just use the term, last year I wouldn't say this, but this year I'll say it, you're operating as a bastard in ministry, a fatherless child with no father, because your inheritance, Your the mantle that God has for you, the blessings that God has for you, is going to always come from the head. And the anointing of God always flows down. It never flows sideways, and it sure don't flow from the bottom up. The Bible talks about how the anointing all ran down Aaron's head, down to his beard, all the way down to the very end of his skirt or his garment. That anointing all starts from heaven, and it goes, and that's why government is so important, because, you know, God set up the office of the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, that's God's government. And that anointing will always flow from the head. When you position yourself properly under God's government and learn how to honor the apostolic source, the life source that God has put into your life, you cannot but help be blessed and to begin to see manifestation, demonstration take place in your life. One of the things the apostle was talking about that, you know, without the supernatural taking place inside church, basically all you have is just religion. All you have is you're having a form of godliness, but you're denying the power thereof. You know, everywhere Jesus taught, the Bible says he preached and he taught and he also did. You know, the Bible says those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And so it's so very important that we know how to honor. And getting back to what I was stating earlier, how it's so very important to recognize that the anointing flows down. And you have to properly position yourself and stay in the position that God's called you to. You know, I've been a member of this church for 23 years. You know, I remember when God spoke to my heart and said, this is where you need to be, you know. And yes, certain times other voices may come in and try to sway you a different way. But you have to know what God has put in your heart and know that God will put you or place you at a particular brook or in a particular ministry, just like God told Elijah to go to a particular brook. And there God commanded a raven to sustain him. You know, God will place you under a particular anointed or anointed man or woman of God so that everything that you need is going to come from that anointing as you position yourself properly under that anointing and learn how to receive from it and honor the anointing that's on the man or woman of God so that you can receive the blessing that's on their lives. The Bible says that without all contradiction, the less is blessed for the better. That's in the book of Hebrews, I believe. The less, in other words, you know, those who are you know, you got the head and as you sow up, what's on them comes on you. And that's so very important. Amen. All right, let's move on. There is always a reason for negative consequences and occurrences. The curse keep happening in people's life. Could it be that they're not sowing proper seeds of honor towards their man or woman of God? When you put your mouth, and this is, I don't know if I stated this, but you never want to place your mouth by saying ill-gotten words against a man or a woman of God. That's one of the greatest areas of dishonor that you can do. And if you can't, if you know, if you're in a ministry where you don't see eye to eye with your man or your woman of God, it's best to go somewhere else and find someone you could submit to, because you're putting yourself in a bad position by staying or by putting your mouth. You don't want to put your mouth on a man or woman of God. I remember the apostle years ago when we were in the first sanctuary. He made a statement. There was a ministry here locally in this area that was going through some challenges. And they were in the media every day and things. I'm not going to go into the detail because that's not the purpose of what I'm talking about. But I remember the apostle telling us to leave that matter alone and do not put your mouth on it. Don't, even though people are saying things negatively about the situation, don't you get involved in those conversations. Stay away from it. Don't put your mouth, whether it's true or whether it's not true. You know, you want to undergird your man and your woman of God. I know people personally in coming up as a, you know, in my Christian life who were submitted to various ministries, and their pastor got in the error, and instead of them undergirding or protecting or covering them, a good illustration of that is when Noah built a vineyard, and he had three sons. Well, one of the sons saw Noah nakedness exposed because he had drunken and he had gotten drunk. One of the sons saw him exposed, and he went and he told the other two sons, instead of covering his father, instead of honoring him, and he went and he exposed him to other people. You know, that's dishonor. And because of that, Cana was cursed because he sowed a seed of dishonor. You don't want to sow seeds of dishonor. You know, it's so very important to undergird, to protect that anointing. You know, one of the things that, you know, I say, Lord, I don't want to be a hindrance to my man of God. I want to be a blessing. I want to be able to whatever he says, Greg, I need you to do this. Greg, I want to be available and eager and ready to help out or to undergird, you know, and to be wherever he needs me to be so that the, how can I put this? My ministry is to serve the man of God that God's called me under. You know, you never want to try to develop your ministry inside of another person's ministry. You're there to undergird, to assist, to help. And see, that's how you sow honor. You know, you're sowing honor because what you want on them, one of the best illustrations of that is Elijah and Elijah. Wherever the prophet Elijah went, Elijah was right there. He was pouring water on his hand. He was waiting on his man of God. And then even when Elijah would say, I'm going to this city, wait here, you know, and I'll be back. Elijah said, no. He said, as the Lord liveth, I'm not leaving. I'm staying by your side. Wherever you go, I go. And that's so very important. You got so many people want to be launched out in ministry. They think they got everything they need, and all of a sudden they're out going trying to do their ministry when they really need to be sitting. You know, they need to. One of the things when I was in the school of ministry some 20 plus years ago, I was one of the charter students, the first school of ministry that we had. The apostle would always tell us, it's so very important to sit, to listen, and to learn. You know, he said, you know, don't be hasty about just jumping out there. You know, wait on your calling. Wait on your gifting. And while you wait, you serve. Amen? All right, I don't want to get off track. I want to stay kind of focused on my book. I'm just trying to introduce some things here, and I want to make sure I cover some basic principles that we're going to be talking about. Okay, very little teaching and studying material has been done or published on the subject of honor. We want to expand your knowledge and understanding of honor. Honor needs to be displayed. Now listen to this. This is very important. Honor needs to be displayed in your life on every level and in every circle of life. From showing honor to your parents, if your parents are still alive, to civic and governmental authorities, and mayors, lawyers, governors, and the president of the United States, and I'm going to pause there. As we know, I have seen more dishonor for that office since President Obama has been in office, since I've been alive. You know, most news reporters don't even acknowledge him as President Obama. You know, the Obama administration, you know, instead of acknowledging him as the commander in chief and the president of the United States and give him the honor that's due the office that he holds. You know, any nation that shows dishonor, not only to the leadership of that nation, but to God, that nation cannot prosper. Because what happens is you are now damming up the blessings of God, because as I stated earlier, remember I stated that the anointing always flows down. And so when you speak ill will or you know, bad mouth those who are in authority, what the scripture says, to pray for all who are in authority. you know, that we might lead a quiet and a peaceable life. You know, God says, you know, to pray for them that you know, that as Christians, you know, we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. And he said, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, he didn't say to criticize, to complain, or to murmur. Those people who murmured in the Bible got swallowed up in the earth. But they got destroyed, the Bible says, by, because of their murmuring and their complaining, showing dishonor. When Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, you know, Korah and his group, they disrespected, dishonored Moses. And there was consequences. There were consequences. You don't want to, like I said, put your mouth on God's anointed, God's chosen man of God, God's chosen men of God. But even so, that there's even consequences when you dishonor your parents. You know, because the Bible says that this is one of the first commandments with promise, and it has the promise of long life, that it might be well with thee. You know, if you think back times in your life where you might have dishonored, even if your parents might have done things or said things or might have not lived the a godly life, you know, your dad may have been a drunkard or you know, just whatever, but they were life sources unto you. They gave you life, okay? And the Bible says that we are to honor life sources. Life source is anyone or anything that produces or gives life. And by doing so, their life experiences, things that they've overcome, it makes it easier for you in your life to overcome circumstances because their triumphs now become your triumphs. Their victories become your victories because you honored them. But when you flip that and do the reciprocal of that, when you dishonor them, I know people personally who went about dishonoring their life source, the man or the person that God had placed them under, and the same consequences that happened to the person that they dishonored end up happening to them also. I mean, it was like deja vu, but what happened? Because they didn't cover, because they didn't do like the other sons of Noah by backing up backwards with the blanket, and they didn't look upon the nakedness of their father. They covered their father, okay. Whereas the other son looked and he went in bad mouth. Well, he was dishonored. He was cursed. So it's so very important that we know how to sow seeds of honor. You see, we're living, and I want to point out this point. We're living on a seed system, or I should say, the Bible says that. Well, let's turn to it. Let's go in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. And we're going to be looking at verse 22. Genesis 8 and verse 22. In Genesis 8 and 22, it says, while the earth remained, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So as long as the earth is still in existence, seed time and harvest. In other words, when you plant a seed, you're going to reap a harvest of that seed. When you plant corn seed, you're going to reap corn. When you plant, mustard greens, you're going to reap a harvest of mustard green. When you sow a seed of love, you're going to reap love. You know, if you want to be love, you need to sow love. If you want to be trustworthy, you need to sow trust. You know, everything will produce after its own kind. So it's very important that we be mindful. One other thing I also wanted to point out, I talked about, you know, honoring parents, but also to honoring the elderly. The Bible talks about the hoary-headed man or the gray-headed man. When someone is in your presence who is an elder or older than you in years, when he walks or she walks in the room, it's an honorable thing to stand up and to show honor by standing up and acknowledging their presence. And once I learned that a couple of weeks ago in church, one of the men who's in prison ministry, I'm over prison ministry here at Word of Life Christian Center, he came and he approached me. He said, "Brother Calhoun, how you doing?" And I remembered reading that scripture. I stood up and I acknowledged him and I shook his hand and hugged him, because, you know, what happens when you honor the elderly or those who are older than you, their experiences, their victories, you tap into that anointing that's on them to experience victory in your life. Same thing with parents, you know, because the anointing always flows down, you know, and it's so very important that you position yourself properly so that you can receive all that God has for you. Amen. Okay, let's move on. I want you to examine your hearts as we embark on this study, you know, like I said earlier, you know, to make sure that you, and there in your book, there's going to be questions and little study aids at the end of each chapter for you to think about. Think about those things and see if there's areas where you need to reverse or undo some seeds of dishonor by sowing seeds of honor into those situations. And actually begin to watch your life to see how things will begin to change, how things are going to begin to work out well for you, simply because you are now sowing the seeds of honor. Amen? Let me make sure I cover everything. It's 8:42, and I have a few more minutes. I want to make sure I cover every area that I wanted to bring home. Okay, I talked about never going before a man of God empty-handed. You always want to sow seeds of honor into a man or a woman of God. That's so, so very important. I'm going to give you an illustration of that, a biblical illustration. In 1 Samuel 9, 6, and 8, this is talking about Saul going before Samuel. And it says in 1 Samuel, you can write it down and read it later, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. And when he said unto him, "Behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith come to pass. Surely comes to pass. And now let us go hither, preadventure. He can show us our way and how we should go." Because they were looking for some lost animals, some lost goats or something. And so Saul said, "There was a man of God in this city, you know, and everything he says come to pass. He was a prophet." And he said, "Let's go before him, and he'll show us which way to go." And then in verse 7, it says, "Then said Saul to his servant, 'But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessel, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we?'" In other words, he's asking the question. "Far as I know," Samuel says, "we don't have nothing to present before the man of God." So bringing a gift before a man of God is scriptural, okay? I'm just wanting to make sure that you don't think that this is something that just happens. No, it's a biblical principle. And he goes on to say, "And the servant answered Saul, saying, 'And behold, I have here at my hand a fourth part of shekel of silver, and I will give to the man of God to tell us our way.'" When the apostle comes into the pulpit, and this is something that I just, you know, I wrote up here, we need to show honor by sowing into the anointing so that what's on his life, the anointing that's on him, can come upon our lives. The anointing of God, and I stated this earlier, always goes down. It flows from the head, from the apostolic source, and it goes down to all who are proper positioned properly to receive it. Give you a scripture about that, and we talked about this earlier. This is Psalms 133, and it's talking about Aaron. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity," or in one accord. "It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon Aaron's beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt of his garment. It goes on to say, and as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon Mount Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So from Mount Zion, where that anointing, remember Moses with Mount Sinai, and then you have Mount Zion. That's where the presence and the Shekinah glory of God in the Old Testament dwelt, you know. And he said from there, from that apostolic, or from, you know, back in the Old Testament, there was only certain places where the anointing of God was. But see, now the Bible says we have that treasure in earthen vessels. But there are men and women of God that have a higher level and a higher degree of anointing on their lives because of the office that they hold. Amen. In the Old Testament, the anointing of God came upon people. But now the anointing of God not only comes up on us, but the anointing of God is also in us. And as we yield to the anointing and begin to praise and worship God, then the glory of God falls down. And one of the things we're going to be learning in these classes is once the glory comes, you know, us trying to perform something is over with. We back up and we learn how to yield and let God show up and show out. I never forget it, even in the early days, I asked the apostle when I was a student in the school of ministry, I said, there are times when you're praising and you're worshiping God or in the service and the anointing of God comes really thick and you can feel it, it's tangible. I said, what do you do? He said, if you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. Just wait on God. And that answer applies even today. That was before we begin to see the manifestation that we're seeing now. He said, you just wait on God. You know, and whatever he says, that's what you do. If you don't say nothing, you just be still, the Bible says, and know that I'm God. A lot of times we think that anointing comes and we're to now start laying hands on people, start prophesying, because we're just excited, you know. But when the Shekinah glory of God falls, it's all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do is manifested in our midst. You know, we just, all we want to do is just receive. Lord, you know, show me your glory. Whatever you need, whatever you want to do, Lord God, you know, you're in control of this service. I'm just here flowing and yielding to what you're doing. And when you do that, you become a yielded vessel. You know, when you yield, you give God the right of way to let him do whatever he wants to do. You know, you're not in control, but you're just there. You're there basically as a passenger, and you're riding the wave of the glory of God, and just there to receive what God has. Amen. All right, let's move on. Let's see. We got 2 minutes. Okay. I'm trying to make sure there's nothing that I'm missing that I want to. Pretty much I covered a good part of what I wanted to say. In conclusion, one of the things that's going to take place in these classes, each year there's an increase and an elevation of what God is doing. This school is not the same school that you were in last year, because more revelation, more information, more demonstration is taking place. So there's a greater degree, thank you, there's a greater degree of manifestation of God's goodness. So, you know, one of the things the apostle said is so very important that we flow and we move. God is never stagnant. Stagnant water brings decay. So you always want to move with God. I remember reading a book by Lester Sumrall. I'm going to say this and we'll shut it off. He said, wherever the presence of God was, whatever country the presence of God was in, he says, I want to be right smack dab in the middle of what God's doing. He said, a lot of churches, a lot of denominations stay in a particular spot because it was a comfort zone. But it's so very important that when God moves, you need to move with what God is doing. And that's when you stay fresh. Amen? All right. Continue reading in your book, chapters 1, 2, and 3, and we'll continue where we left off last week. Amen. And your question should be posted by tomorrow evening around 6. There should be 4 to 5 questions that's going to be on the internet. That's mostly for online students, but my test questions do come from the quizzes that's posted online. So I encourage students in class to definitely do those quiz questions. Amen. All right, be blessed.